information, Juan.
Well, this whole saga of what's happened to Diego Garcia is a direct echo or reflection in terms of my own experience, having been born in Puerto Rico, and the what happened to the island of Vieques. It's the same thing in the 1940s, the United States military moving and throwing thousands of people off the land to create the biggest military base and training center for the Atlantic Fleet. But of course, they didn't take everybody off the island. They took about two-thirds of the population off the island, and as a result, there was a continuing battle that finally triumphed a few years ago with the removal of the Navy from Vieques. So what is happening now as a result of the court decision? Because obviously, as you say, most of the population was removed from the island. The ability of the constituency to fight to maintain that.
Well, let me tell you how the Blair government fought this fought the islanders. The High Court in 2000, having said that the islanders had the right to go home, that this was all outrageous, they should go home. The Blair government knew that it couldn't go further in the court, so they invoked something called the royal prerogative, which is the divine right of kings, basically, to decree. And this very important power, which George W. Bush, I understand, has now assumed, but this very important power Blair has used to go to war. It means that you bypass Parliament, you bypass the executive completely, you give the Queen something to read, and that's the end of it. And the Queen decreed that the islanders would never go home. But what is important since then is the High Court has come back, and here you have the judiciary now in Britain, as the executive becomes more and more concentrated and absolute power, the judiciary playing almost a traditional role. The High Court again came back and said, this is repugnant. That was the word it used. This is repugnant. These islanders have their rights. Now, as of a couple of weeks ago, the court is saying they can go back to the Chagos Islands, but they can't go back to where most of them come from, and that is Diego Garcia, where the U.S. base is. Now, if you look back at the old files, the U.S. didn't want them. There's plenty of room for them there. In fact, they could work on the base in that traditional way, unfortunately, but they wanted to do that. The U.S. saw them as a potential national liberation movement. I have to tell you that this campaign has been led mostly by elderly women, extraordinary women, many of whom simply don't want to die before they see their homeland again. So it's got to the point where they can go back to the outlying islands, but they can't go back to where most of them come from. They're going to need a lot of support. And it's about a government defying the court. It's like the U.S. defying the Supreme Court. The High Court is the same. And we have a standoff at the moment.
And who does the work on Diego Garcia? In other words, does the United States bring in laborers from other countries?
Yes, yes. It brings in the usual cheap contract workers. How ironic. It goes back to what they call the original inhabitors, the floating and contract. But they bring in people from the Indian subcontinent, and of course Filipinos and others, and they security vet them and so on and so forth.
I wanted to turn from Diego Garcia to another story you've covered for many years. This week is the 40th anniversary of the Arab-Israeli War, 1967. There are a lot of coverage all over the world now about what is happening there. I was surprised to see a BBC documentary that said the classic myth is the Israeli David to the Arab Goliath, but what that doesn't include, the BBC said, is the U.S. and British backing of Israel at the time, and perhaps wasn't as known as well at the time. You have done several films, Palestine is the Issue. Then you went back years later and did another film, Palestine is Still the Issue. You have a chapter in your latest book, Freedom Next Time, The Last Taboo, that begins with two quotes. Amira Haas, the Israeli journalist well known who has been on Democracy Now, who said, an ideology that divides the world into those who are worth more and those who are worth less, into superior and inferior beings, does not have to reach the dimensions of the German genocide to be wrong. And then you quote the Israeli Israeli Prime Minister Golda Meir, saying there was no such thing as Palestinians. They never existed.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you first quoted the BBC of the Arab Goliath and the Israeli David, I'm afraid that is still the view. I quote at length in the book a pioneering study done by Glasgow University Media Group, in which it asked a cross-section of television, viewers of television news in Britain, what they knew about the so-called Arab-Israeli conflict. And they found that of young viewers, I think people under the age of 21, who watched TV news, 92% of them thought that the settlers, the illegal settlers, were Palestinians. And the clear message from this report was that the more people watched television, the less they knew. And I think I have to say that because I think Edward Said's rather bitter lament just before he died, that in which he blamed journalists, foreign journalists, for ignoring the history of the Palestinian struggle, never contextualizing it, never using the terms equally, like terrorism, towards Israel as well as towards the Palestinians, almost never used towards Israel. His complaint stands today, and I think it's the fact that we still have so much misinformation about what is the world's longest military occupation and one of the world's longest struggles for basic justice is a reflection on the so-called media age in which we are said to live.
Do you feel like it changed from 1974 when you did Palestine is the issue to 2002 when you did Palestine is still the issue, the two documentaries?
Well, the title, you know, no. I mean, the title was meant to, I made this film, Palestine is still the issue, you know, 30 years ago. And in calling the new film the same, Palestine is still the issue, it was meant to say that it's still the issue, that the basic issues are still there. And it is about justice for the Palestinians, their right to return to their homeland, their right to live decent lives, their right to have all the things that we take for granted. And of course, as anybody who's been there, who has a fair mind would see, then Israelis would claim the same rights almost immediately, or certainly claim the same rights of security once the Palestinians haven't had it. But I think, you know, our language has been so distorted. You know, have constantly in the United States and to a great degree in Britain, Hamas, for instance, is reported always with the follow-on as the terrorist organization committed to the destruction of Israel. Israel is not reported as an organization, call it terrorist if you like, I would, committed to the destruction of Palestine, and that is the news day after day, the destruction of Palestine, the building of a wall through Palestine, the denial of the occupied territories, the encircling and imprisonment of the 1.4 million people of Gaza. In other words, we're still asked to see, and with the very honorable exception of your own program and others, we're still asked to see the Middle East in terms of Western stroke Israeli power, of its usefulness or its expendability.
And